Chapter 3. Lifeline.
Hold still, said Ruth, tucking the splint under Jack's forearm.
The boy yelped as she bound the fracture.
I said still, hissed the sailor.
Can't you be gentler? Said Fliss.
I'm fixing it, said Ruth, securing the splint with bandages.
You don't have to be mean about it, said Fliss defensively.
Mean? By fixing him?
Said Ruth, trimming the fabric. Jack winced as his arm shifted.
Get a grip, kid,
scolded Ruth.
You've been hard on us since we left, said Fliss.
You mean since you three lepers forced your way on board, brought a cult to my door and nearly got me killed? Go to hell, said Ruth.
You shouldn't talk to people like that, said Fliss.
If you don't like it, you're welcome to return those dry clothes and swim the rest of the way. No. Didn't think so, said Ruth.
Fliss looked to Lucy for support, but Lucy was too tired to arbitrate. She had expended what little energy she had left after the storm by pumping floodwater out of the galley for several hours. Her muscles ached from working the lever. The others were exhausted, too. Fliss had been tasked with restoring the galley's contents, while Ruth had inspected the rest of the boat and begun repairs on the electrics. Jack had remained incapacitated by shock, the effects of which were still enduring. Lucy scratched at the lesions beneath her top. She could feel her symptoms worsening as she weakened. Her skin deterioration had overtaken Jack's, and she was feeling the effects of mounting fatigue and hunger.
I should have let them take you, grumbled Ruth, taking a swig of water.
Can I get some of that?
Said Fliss tentatively. The sailor gulped at the remainder and slammed the enamel mug down with a thwack. She grabbed a different colored one from the cabinet and filled it, eyeballing Fliss resentfully as she did so.
Don't touch my mug. You use this one, understood? That goes for all of you. I don't want whatever damn disease you all picked up, said Ruth.
Fliss drank gratefully.
Months of waiting, all for nothing, all for this, said Ruth bitterly, gesturing to the motley crew.
Who are you waiting for? Said Lucy.
Like it matters. You've ruined it, haven't you? You didn't care when you came on board, so don't pretend to care now, said Ruth.
If you waited that long and no one showed up, maybe whoever you were waiting for wasn't coming, said Fliss nervously.
Ruth stopped and glared at the girl with daggers in her eyes. Her stocky muscles were tense, her nostrils flared. She slammed the drawer shut with a clatter.
Don't talk about what you don't know, kid,
snapped the sailor, before storming upstairs above deck and slamming the hatch behind her.
I didn't mean that badly, I meant 'cause of our dad, said Fliss, welling up.
Lucy took Fliss in an embrace and soothed the exhausted girl.
Are we gonna die?
Said Jack, staring at the lesions on his forearm. Lucy looked at the siblings and tried not to think about the infected people she'd met in Boston, the ones she knew had died waiting for Dr. Charlie to bring their meds.
When we get to D.C., they're going to help us. They've got the best doctors in the country there, all gathered together. Right now, you need to rest up,
said Lucy, hoping the teens believed her words more than she did. Jack shuffled away to the fore cabin to sleep, while Fliss lingered.
When you first came to us, you were soaked through. We had to change your clothes, began Fliss, letting her voice trail off and her eyes fall on Lucy's abdomen.
Don't worry about that, said Lucy.
Did it hurt?
I'm still here, aren't I? Said Lucy, climbing the companionway. She took a deep breath of the fresh air on deck. The sea was flat and the dawn quiet. Ruth was busily winching a sail into place.
Things will be better in D.C. My father-in-law will take care of us. He's a senator, said Lucy.
We're not going to D.C.,
said Ruth, briskly returning to the helm. Lucy registered the angle of the boat in relation to the rising sun. They were tacking west.
Are you crazy? Said Lucy, grabbing Ruth's arm.
Touch me like that again, and I'll slit your throat in your sleep and dump you overboard. Understood? Said Ruth.
Lucy released her abruptly and backed away.
You come onto my boat, my home, and tell me where I'm going?
No way, said Ruth, rotating the wheel. Ruth, I'm truly sorry for what's happened, but we're victims too. Fliss didn't mean what she...
Do you have any idea what it feels like to be the oldest and the only surviving member of a family that should be spanning 3 generations? Said Ruth.
The woman's cheeks were contorted in sorrow, her eyes narrow with pain and glazed with tears. She turned away abruptly and wiped her eyes clear, then trained her fierce stare on the sextant.
Lucy sat on the bench adjacent to Ruth and stared at the water. She felt numb. She knew she owed a debt to each person on board.
Open that cupboard, said Ruth.
Lucy stood up, realizing the bench was a container. She undid the lock and peered in. A coiled yellow rope lay inside. It was badly frayed. Attached to it was the remains of a diamond-shaped cone. The yellow plastic was riddled with burn marks. One side had peeled away from the main body and hung on by just a few strands.
Is that... began Lucy.
The storm drogue. Yes. It was like that when I reeled it in a couple of hours ago, said Ruth.
She fixed Lucy with a grim look.
I don't know what did it, but if it can get through that thing in a night, then what do you think it's gonna do to the hull over 5 days?
You gotta clamp it in place, said Jack gently as Lucy let the index arm of the sextant swing out of position. Her stomach pained painfully. She'd not eaten in over 2 days.
Every damn time. Thanks, said Lucy, forcing her exhausted mind to take the reading. Even with the process licked, the calculations themselves were still complex and varied between day and night. As she took the reading, the late morning sun disappeared behind a swath of clouds, sensitizing her once again to the cool Atlantic breeze. She sighed and refocused, glad of Jack's company. Jack had been the first to master the device, partly because his sickness was the least advanced. He was a significantly more patient teacher than Ruth, whose teaching style reminded Lucy of her father's back on the ranch. You got told once, and if you did it wrong, you got hurt, and learned the hard way from there. Lucy peered through the telescope and frowned, trying to align with the horizon. It was the last task of their shift before they could wake the others.
A ship! Gasped Lucy, handing Jack the lens excitedly.
What? Said Jack, urgently scanning.
We've got to get its attention. Quick, tell the others. Light a flare! Cried Lucy.
Lucy, I don't see any ship, said Jack, scouring the waves.
Are you kidding? It's right there!
Said Lucy, grabbing the tool back and refocusing. The horizon was blank. She passed the sextant back to him, too confused to even feel disappointed.
Maybe you should rest a bit. I don't mind finishing the reading, if you want to wake the others, said Jack, looking at her with concern.
Lucy agreed and headed below deck, puzzling over the vanishing ship. Her eyes itched with fatigue and her head felt light. She craved the leaves they'd eaten in Boston. She made tea for Ruth and Fliss, then roused them for the handover. When she finally flopped onto her berth, the couch was still warm from where Ruth had been sleeping. Lucy fought the urge to scratch the lesions burning across her body.
Forgot my shoes, muttered Fliss, shuffling back in and out of the galley.
She looked groggy. Lucy lay on her back and stared at the low ceiling. Her hand moved to her stomach, where the broken skin had crusted over. She flinched as she touched it, remembering the feeling of her own liquid flesh engulfing her fingers as she clawed out the alien growth.
Man overboard! Came a cry.
Lucy swiveled out of her berth, disbelieving her ears. The cry repeated. It was Ruth's voice. She rushed through the galley and onto the deck. Jack was pointing portside at Fliss's floating figure.
Keep pointing! Don't let her out of your sight!
Yelled Ruth, grabbing the life ring from the stern and hurrying along the side.
Fliss, grab the ring!
Shouted Ruth, tossing the yellow inflatable out to the girl. Fliss pushed it away with a confused look on her face as she treaded water.
No, that's not him. He's different,
cried Fliss, swimming in circles. Her waterlogged clothes hung heavily off her limbs.
Fliss, swim towards the boat,
shouted Jack. Fliss dived beneath the surface, kicking her legs as she went.
Help her,
cried Jack, pointing to where she'd disappeared. A sling kept his broken arm held tightly against his chest.
Ruth watched in dismay as the yellow life ring floated further away from the boat.
I'm going in, said Lucy, pulling off her boots and pants, revealing her pockmarked red legs.
No way, said Ruth.
Fliss burst through the surface, gasping for air. She was a dozen feet away from her last position. She spun around again, searching the horizon for something, then took a deep breath and dived once more.
We have to get to her now! Tether me! You can reel me back in! Hurry! Insisted Lucy, pulling a life jacket over her torso.
Ruth grabbed the harness and clipped it around Lucy's waist, fastening a rope to it, with a winch at the end. Lucy grabbed the railings and leapt into the water, plunging several feet below the chilling surface before the buoyancy aid dragged her up. With a gasp, she took her bearings. Jack's trembling arm was pointing to a blank stretch of ocean. Lucy cast her eyes around, desperately looking for bubbles or some trace of the girl. Water rushed over Lucy's head. Something had gripped her ankle, pulling her under. She kicked away, but the grip had doubled and was shifting. A pair of hands were clawing their way up her calves. The cord around her waist tightened, and Lucy gasped for air as her face momentarily ebbed above the surface, only for her to be swiftly dragged down once more. The hands climbed up her thighs to her back and shoulders. She could feel Fliss's legs wrapping around her waist as the deranged teenager climbed Lucy's body like an island. Lucy could see the air bubbles draining from her lungs as Fliss clambered on top of her. Fliss repeated her calls above the surface, seemingly oblivious to Lucy's panicked gurgling below. Lucy felt her way up Fliss's arms, past her shoulders, until she reached the girl's neck. She seized it and squeezed. At once, Fliss's legs jerked out in shock, releasing their iron grip on Lucy's waist. Fliss's hands instinctively wrapped around Lucy's and prized them away from her neck. Lucy seized the opportunity and kicked the girl away from her. The pair split apart and their eyes locked across the surface. Lucy spat the rancid seawater from her mouth and registered the wild, incoherent look in Fliss's eyes.
Stay away from me! You're not him!
Cried Fliss, looking upon Lucy as a total stranger.
Fliss, you need to get back to the boat! You're not safe here!
Spluttered Lucy, trying to untangle the cordon which had become wrapped around her leg.
No, you don't understand. I'm supposed to meet him here. That's what we said, moaned Fliss, spinning in circles.
Jack's on the boat, Fliss. Look up there. He's waiting for you, said Lucy, pointing to Jack, who called out to his sister desperately.
Fliss looked at him with fear, then turned away from the boat and began to head for the open water.
Grab her, yelled Ruth.
Lucy hastily freed her leg from the rope and swam after Fliss, grabbing the girl in a headlock. Fliss wailed in shock and tried to pull Lucy's arm away.
Reel us in,
cried Lucy, feeling the cord around her waist tighten immediately. Fliss spluttered and flailed, reaching behind her head to claw at Lucy's face. Lucy dipped the girl's head below the surface momentarily, shocking her out of the fight reflex.
Stop struggling, you're nearly there, Fliss,
urged Lucy as the girl strained against the headlock. Ruth winched them in to the stern of the boat, where she extended the ladder. She clicked the metal gate open and knelt down by the water. Lucy swiveled and shoved Fliss against the rungs as the girl ceased struggling and went floppy.
Help us up!
Cried Lucy, thrusting Fliss's limp body as far out of the water as she could. Ruth and Jack hauled Fliss onto the deck. Seawater spluttered from her lungs as they rolled her onto her side. Lucy climbed up after her, shivering with cold. She pulled off the rescue equipment and threw a towel around her diseased shoulders while the others tried desperately to rouse Fliss.
Pass me the ropes, said Ruth, pointing to an open box.
Jack hesitated, looking from Ruth to his half-drowned sister.
Do it now, boy, or she'll throw herself back in the sea,
Ruth insisted. Jack complied, bringing Ruth the box. The sailor pulled out a sturdy length and wound it around Fliss's ankles, then repeated the same above the girl's knees and elbows. Fliss's eyelids flickered open as she saw the water and strained towards it.
Fliss, stop it! Why are you doing this?
Begged Jack.
Let's get her below,
said Ruth, gesturing Lucy to help. They lowered Fliss's delirious, wailing body below deck and into the cabin where they strapped her into a berth.
Her clothes are soaked. She'll freeze to death,
said Jack, shifting anxiously from side to side.
So dry her out, kid. We don't have time for you to freak out again. Get to work, ordered Ruth.
Lucy looked down at her own shivering body and for the first time noticed the patterns made by the swirling lesions.
Hey guys, are yours moving?
Said Lucy, staring at her sopping leg.
What are you talking about?
Said Ruth.
Your skin. Patterns. Are yours?
Began Lucy. She looked at the pair of them. She didn't remember Dan being on board, but he looked worried.
Lucy. Lucy, look at me, said her partner with concern in his soft, beautiful eyes.
Major Lopez stood next to him, fully uniformed and shaking his head as Lucy swayed to the side.
Damned rookie,
said Lopez as Lucy's eyes rolled back into her head and she fell to the floor.
Run,
cried Dan, tearing off his mask and visor. He ripped the cupboard door open and grabbed a baseball bat, spilling their clothes and other belongings onto the apartment floor. Loud bangs sounded from the hallway. Someone was pounding against the door.
I'll hold them off. Go, Luce. You gotta go now, begged Dan.
Lucy's visor was misting up, obscuring her vision. She could feel the plastic hazmat suit rubbing against her sore knees.
Come with me,
she implored, her legs straddling the shattered windowsill. Golden spores drifted into the apartment on a mild San Franciscan breeze. With an almighty crunch, the door began to splinter.
Lucy, go!
Cried Dan, tightening his grip on the bat and widening his stance, ready to strike. The door crunched again as an axe smashed its way through the wood, spraying chunks across the floor. Through the gaps, Lucy saw a sweeping white garment and a swinging metal blade. A red droplet landed on her thigh. She looked up at the leaking AC unit. A curfew siren sounded outside.
Lucy!
Cried Dan as the door burst open. Lucy stirred. Her eyes were heavy and crusty with sleep. She tried to sit up, but her torso and limbs were bound by ropes over which a blanket had been draped. She tilted her head sideways as the cabin came into focus. Jack was in the opposite berth, tied into place. He had no blanket and was sweating feverishly beneath his jumpsuit. His brow was furrowed and he muttered in his sleep, rocking his head but unable to open his flickering eyes wider than a slit. Lucy examined the pattern lesions covering his emaciated body. They were different to hers, and paler, too. Footsteps approached from the companionway.
You made it,
said Fliss, hurrying over and grabbing Lucy in an embrace. Lucy stared at her in surprise. The girl's skin was clear.
Ditto,
croaked Lucy, her throat dry. Fliss peeled back the blanket and released the ropes binding Lucy. She grabbed an enamel mug from the galley, then knelt down and gently tilted Lucy's head up, bringing the cup to her lips. Lucy drank thirstily.
Take it easy. You're gonna feel rough, counseled Fliss, helping Lucy to sit up.
Lucy stared at her own bare shins and forearms in astonishment. The lesions had disappeared. Only the faintest of shiny scars remained here and there, looking more like blisters from chickenpox or shingles than anything else. Fliss tenderly swiveled Lucy's legs off the berth, bringing her up further.
How does that feel?
She said, offering Lucy more water.
How are you? Are we? Began Lucy. Cured? I don't know. I woke up yesterday and the rash was gone, said Fliss.
How long was I out?
3 days, I think. Jack went down on day 2, apparently. Let me get you some food.
You found leaves?
No need. We can eat normally again, said Fliss, beaming.
Lucy shuffled to the edge of the bed and placed a shaky hand onto Fliss's shoulder. With the girl's help, she stood. A soiled towel fell from around her waist onto the floor. Lucy slowly processed what it was.
Oh, God, it's okay. I'll clear it up. You need to eat first so you can start recovering, soothed Fliss.
She aided Lucy to the chart table and sat her down on a plastic sheet. She produced a tin from the galley cupboard and cracked the ring pull open.
Eat,
she said, handing Lucy a spoon with a smile. Lucy took the tin and shoveled kidney beans into her mouth while Fliss went to clean the berth. In less than a minute, Lucy had devoured the lot. She gingerly rose to her feet and shuffled to the toilet cubicle. She stared at herself in the mirror. There were dark rings around her eyes and her face was thin, but other than that, she looked normal. She cleaned and changed quickly, then stumbled back to the galley. Lucy blushed as Fliss passed by and headed up the companionway with the soiled towel in a bucket. She grabbed a second tin of beans and gobbled it down as quickly as the first. As she went to set the empty tin down, the boat halted sharply with an almighty crunch, knocking Lucy out of her seat.
"Shit!" cried Ruth from above.
Fliss and Ruth's footsteps clambered across the deck as they hurried to the front of the boat. As Lucy climbed back into her seat, nursing her bruised pelvis, a babbling sound caught her attention. She peered past the saloon and into the fore cabin. Water was rising through the floorboards. Lucy staggered to her feet and hurried forward. A huge curved sheet of gray metal had pierced the hull, destroying most of the berth. The metal was studded in jade-colored barnacles. Beneath them, painted in italics, Lucy could just make out the word, Calypso. The barnacles began to detach and drop onto the flooding cabin floor, revealing pink, fleshy lumps inside each shell. Lucy rushed above deck to warn the others. A sweeping shoreline of sand, cliffs, and forest greeted her, stretching as far as Lucy could see. Ruth and Fliss were at the bow, taking in the damage.
"We're taking on water below, fast," said Lucy.
Ruth thumped the handrail and hurried back to the hatch, hastening below deck. Lucy peered over the edge into the foaming sea. The wreckage wasn't visible above the surface, but foaming waves sloshed around them, buffeted in all directions by the rocks below. Ruth appeared, looking white as a sheet. Her shins were soaked.
"We're abandoning ship! I'll prep the life raft! You two, get Jack onto a stretcher!" she said.
"Where's the stretcher?" said Fliss.
"Make one!"
snapped Ruth, disappearing below. Lucy and Fliss followed swiftly.
This could work," said Lucy, pulling the cushions off the empty berth and revealing the wooden board beneath.
She tried to lift it up, but the board was nailed in. Fliss crouched down and braced her back against Jack's berth, allowing herself to be soaked by the rising water which lapped at her chin. She placed her heels under the lip of the wood berth opposite and kicked upward, striking it hard until the board broke free. Lucy grabbed a tin and hit the exposed nail tips, loosening them and plucking them out. Ruth dodged past them with a first aid kit and bag full of tins, which she shoved onto the deck. The water level was just inches from Jack's comatose mouth. Lucy and Ruth hastily untied his limbs, then heaved him onto the makeshift stretcher and refastened him in place. With a crunch, the boat's fiberglass hull tore further, throwing Lucy and Fliss off balance as their center of gravity shifted 20 degrees. They caught Jack just in time as the stretcher slid towards the water.
"Hurry up down there!"
yelled Ruth.
"I'll go first,"
said Lucy, turning her back to Jack's feet. She knelt in the rising water, raised both hands over her shoulders, then heaved. Fliss grabbed the far end as the pair sloshed their way through the flooding galley. They struggled up the companionway and onto deck. Ruth had opened the gate leading to the boat's external ladder, where an inflated orange and yellow lifeboat was tethered.
"No way. The edges will tear the rubber,"
said Ruth, pushing past them. She jumped into the flooded galley and rummaged through the submerged cabinets, quickly returning with duct tape and a quilt. The three of them hastily padded and bound the stretcher's corners while the hull creaked beneath them. Ruth and Fliss hurried into the raft, then caught the stretcher from Lucy as she slid Jack's slender frame off the lip of the stern. The boat gargled loudly as seawater squeezed air out of the cabins.
"We've got incoming!" cried Fliss, pointing out to sea.
Jets of water shot up into the air where wind swiftly scattered the droplets. Lucy squinted. The bursts were several hundred yards away, but getting closer. Beneath each jet was a broad, oily back, arching and dipping seamlessly as it slid through the water. Lucy hastily clambered onto the raft and cast them off from the sinking boat.
"Make for the shore,"
cried Ruth, plunging a paddle into the water. Lucy and Fliss obeyed, paddling hard. Jack moaned from the stretcher, his eyes fluttering.
"They're getting closer! Hurry!"
cried Fliss.
"Keep going! The tide's with us!"
yelled Ruth. As the creatures closed in, their profiles changed. out of their broad, flat backs unfolded gray and black striped dorsal fins, which cut through the water like knives. The pack sped up, racing through the water as they made a beeline for the group. The raft hit the shore and scraped to a halt, where it bobbed, paralyzed, amidst the wet sand.
"Everybody out!" cried Ruth, bailing over the side. Lucy and Fliss followed, leaping into the shallows.
All three grabbed a handle and dragged the raft onto the beach.
"Get him out!"
wheezed Ruth, dropping her handle and vomiting onto the sand. Lucy leaned over the raft's side and gripped the stretcher. Fliss jumped back in and grabbed the leg end. As the pair heaved Jack out of the raft, Fliss tripped, sending Jack's leg splashing into the lapping waves. Lucy stumbled backwards, barely staying upright with the weight of Jack's upper half. The boy came to and started wailing in fear as she dragged him further inland.
"It's okay,"
said Fliss, clambering back towards her brother and loosening his ropes as Lucy dropped him on the sand.
"Ruth!"
cried Jack, pointing to the water. The sailor was leaning on the rubber raft for support as fresh waves lapped around her calves. Panic swept across Lucy's spine. A thick, striped dorsal fin was speeding Ruth's way. Lucy sprinted toward the water and grabbed the woman's arm, hauling her away from the raft. The pair fell back in horror as the creature made landfall, biting down on the raft, bursting it immediately and dragging it into the water. As the creature swam away from the shoreline with the tattered yellow and orange ring in tow, more dorsal fins rose to the surface to inspect the kill. The lead creature shook the raft several times, then discarded it, realizing its mistake. Lucy sat on her elbows, panting, as the predators glided silently along the shore, eyeballing her through their expressionless black retinas, contemplating the human group's distance from the water. With a spray of water from its blowhole, the pod leader turned back towards the open water and slipped beneath the surface, leading the rest of the creatures with it. The striped fins contracted one by one as the creatures dived in turn, revealing flat tails like those of a whale. The upper sides were gray and black, but the undersides were bleached yellow. Several of the creatures had chunks missing from theirs.
"Are you okay?"
said Lucy, turning to Ruth. The older woman had turned pale and sweaty.
"I've been better,"
she said, wiping vomit from her mouth and chest. Fliss had untied Jack's ropes and was helping him to sit up. Behind them was a sand-colored cliff face, above which stood a dense forest.
"What's that?"
croaked Jack, pointing over Fliss's shoulder. Lucy followed his gaze. In the distance, a cloud of sand was being disturbed along the shore. It was getting bigger.
"Let's go. We need to get to higher ground,"
said Lucy, sticking her head under Ruth's arm and heaving. Ruth grunted and attempted to stand, but her strength had gone. The pair tumbled back into the sand.
"It's getting closer,"
cried Jack. Lucy stared at the oncoming sand cloud. The grains were being churned up by an armored arthropod sprinting towards them. Its head was narrow like a greyhound's skull, streamlining its long, segmented body, which raced towards them on bony, wide-set legs, which moved too fast to be counted.
"Ruth, you gotta get up," begged Lucy.
"Go,"
panted Ruth, slumping into the sand. She rolled onto her back and clutched her heart, closing her eyes in pain.
"Oh, shit," said Lucy. "You two, get over here,"
she yelled at Fliss and Jack. The teenagers looked at her in astonishment, having already started fleeing for the rocks.
"It's gonna kill us,"
cried Fliss.
"Help us,"
bellowed Lucy. The pair hurried towards her, Fliss supporting Jack as he swayed. They fell at Ruth's side and grabbed her arms, ready to lift.
"No, get behind me. It's not interested in us three, I promise you. It only wants Ruth,"
said Lucy, drawing Ruth's diving knife. The creature was closing in fast.
"Are you insane?"
cried Fliss, stepping away.
"You have to trust me. We're infected. It can't touch us. But we have to stop it getting to Ruth,"
said Lucy, her eyes flitting between the terrified teenagers and the impending dust cloud.
"What are we supposed to stop it with?"
trembled Jack. A rapid, rhythmic clicking was resonating from the creature's impending body. Lucy glimpsed the thick orange hairs which covered its shell like tripwires. She widened her stance and gripped the knife tightly, preparing to stab. She searched desperately for a weakness in its armor, but saw none. The creature prepared for the final assault. Its scurrying gait disappeared as it raised its front limbs up like pincers. Its remaining limbs switched seamlessly into a bounding rhythm. The creature propelled itself towards the group in a series of leaps. As it prepared to strike, a fluttering, chopping noise carried through the air. A bullet tore through the creature's thick armor, sending it crashing into the ground. Jack screamed as the creature rose to its feet again and staggered towards them, with blue blood spurting from the top of its shell. Another bullet ripped into the creature's body, this time felling it permanently. Lucy looked up and her heart danced as a Seahawk helicopter circled around and landed on the beach. Navy was printed on the side of the gray hull in bold. Lucy shielded her eyes as the craft's blades threw sand towards them.
Jack, get to the helicopter! Fliss, give me a hand! Hurry! Ordered Lucy.
They dragged Ruth towards the chopper where a pair of black gloves reached through the dust cloud and grabbed her. Another of the air crew grabbed Lucy by the shoulders and hauled her on board. Within seconds, the craft was taking off again. Lucy grabbed the hull netting for stability as the helicopter turned through the air. The crew shoved Lucy down into a jump seat beside Fliss and clipped her in. Lucy stared down as they passed the beach at a tilt. Scores more armored creatures were scuttling towards the spot they'd been standing just moments ago. The first arrivals were already feasting on the carcass of their dead peer. Lucy tried to speak to the others, but the noise of the blades was deafening. The air crew wore ear protection, but Lucy had to make do covering her ears with her hands. She felt queasy as the helicopter dipped its nose and accelerated away from the beach, heading further along the vast estuary. Ruth's eyes were closed, and her mouth sagged at both sides as she drew rapid, shallow breaths. The craft sped over land and water for several minutes before slowing and turning into a descent. A buildings complex appeared before them, clustered along the shoreline. The buildings were dominated by satellite dishes of all sizes, along with a range of radar and radio installations. U.S. Navy Chesapeake Bay Detachment read a sign as they touched down onto the grass. A truck was waiting to meet them. The pilot killed the engines, and the aircrew chaperoned Lucy and the others out of the chopper and over to the truck, where two uniformed soldiers stood waiting. One had a field laptop set up on the trunk.
"What's this?" called the foremost soldier over the fading whine of the chopper's motors. His clean-shaven face was at odds with the naval officer's rich beard.
"Civilians. We picked them up on the beach a few miles out. They were under attack," said the airman.
"They ain't part of the deal," said the soldier.
"Nope, but they're your problem now," said the airman.
"All clear," said the second soldier, removing a USB stick from the laptop and packing both away in a bulky, indestructible-looking carry case.
"All clear," echoed an airman, completing a parallel operation on a Navy laptop.
"Until next time," said the bearded airman, extending his Army counterpart a hand.
"Did you tell the civvies anything?"
demanded the clean-shaven soldier, gesturing to Lucy's bewildered-looking group.
"I thought I'd leave your side to do the briefing. From what I hear, they won't get told much," said the airman, retracting his hand.
"Maybe that's 'cause we still have a thing called classified information," said the soldier defiantly.
"Let me know how that works out. Clock starts now, people. 5-minute extraction. Let's go,"
said the airman, signaling to the other crew members to follow as he set off for the adjacent building.
"Let me know when y'all wake up and decide to join the fight," called the soldier.
"Oh, we will, don't you worry about that."
"We're playing the long game, brother,"
yelled the airman with a wink.
"What's that supposed to mean? Hey!"
"Jackass,"
said the soldier, spitting in disgust. Lucy looked at the soldier uncertainly, wishing the air crew weren't washing their hands of them so readily.
"What are y'all looking at? Get in the damn truck already."
"Are you going to D.C.?" asked Lucy anxiously.
"No, we're going to Disneyland."
"Dumbass question,"
said the soldier, slamming his door and starting the engine. Lucy and the others hurried to the back of the truck and climbed in, heaving Ruth into place between them. The older woman moaned incoherently as they kept her upright. Fliss swept Ruth's hair from her eyes and mopped her brow. Lucy took Ruth's pulse as the truck moved forwards. It was irregular and faint. She looked to Fliss anxiously.
"We need to get her to a hospital," said Lucy.